our understanding. Let your word come alive to us. And let us go and practicalize this word and produce good fruit to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Say with me, say, I choose to be a fruit producer. Jesus said, I'm divine. Now listen. I was saying that to you. Jesus said, I am what? Divine. John 15. And you are what? The branches. Amen? It's the job of the vine to supply the branch, yeah? With sap. Yeah? That sap contains all the life that the branch needs. Amen? It is the job of the branch to take in the sap, cooperate, yield, yeah? In consuming that sap and letting that sap invade it completely so that it can produce what? Fruit. The fruit does not appear on the vine, it appears on the branch. The vine is depending on the branch for fruit. Hallelujah. The whole reason why the vine was holding up the branch is so that it can produce what? Fruit. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that every branch that produces fruit, the Father comes and prunes. In all cases, there is cutting. All cases, there is cutting. The Father is in the business of cutting. So if you say the Father, God is in the business of cutting. Open your Bible to John 15. Now, if you note, if you are paying attention, I've just digressed, but that's what the Holy Spirit wants to say. So let's do it. John 15. The title of today's sermon is Deliverance from Evil, and it's part 4. And under these titles, we're looking at the armor of God. But I just tried to name it differently so that you can see more clearly. So, and we have looked in the past, we have looked at the body armor of righteousness. We have looked at the helmet of salvation. We have looked at the belt, or better word, the girdle of truth. And today we are going to look at the boots. I know you never heard it said like that before. I know your version says the shoes. Yeah? King James says the feet shod. But I think the modern word that will capture it better is the boots. Yeah? You know, the hardened. What do you call those boots? The ones you use for. Yeah, the walk. No, like if you are in the military or you are going into the jungle. What do you call that boots you wear? Who said that? The combat boots. So today we're going to look at the combat boots. Amen? Amen? Open your Bible to John 15. Let's quickly stretch that out because the Holy Spirit wants to speak that specifically to somebody today to bless you. Every time God speaks to you, the overall goal is to bless you. Whether what God is saying is pleasurable or painful, what's the overall goal? To bless you. Pain is not always a bad thing. Imagine you were cooking and you mistakenly put your hand, you know, near the fire and there was no pain. Maybe you were chatting on your phone. Hello, I saw your gist and then your hand was, you know, in the fire, no pain. And you didn't feel pain. What we do? You continue speaking, yeah? But by the time you look back, what will have happened? God forbid. Amen? God forbid. Pain reminds you that something is wrong and that you should pay attention. Hallelujah? And so pain helps you. Pain saves the day. Yeah? Pain helps you to reflect. Pain helps you to reconsider so that you don't destroy yourself or destroy other people. Hallelujah? So ultimately, it's a good thing. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. It's not always going to be pleasure. Love is not always pleasure. Love also includes discipline. And I was that every child that the Father loves, Hebrews chapter 12, he what? Who said that? He chastises. It's a strong word. Let me use a simpler word. He disciplines. Yeah, it's still love. Hallelujah. What is still what? Love. Yeah? So when God corrects me, he's still loving me. The reason why I correct myself, I don't disturb myself. There's nobody's going to be immune to that, even myself. Yeah? So, God can correct me. Let's do it. Say, Father God, I give you permission. Come on, let's do that again. Say, Father God, I give you permission to correct me because it's for my own good. Amen. John 15, quickly, let's do that. Let's do John 15. And then we'll go back to the combat boots. I like that word combat there. John 15, are you there? And let's read some few verses there. John chapter 15. I want young people to read for me today. John 15. Verse 1 and 2. Just 1 and 2. Only 1 and 2. John 15, 1 and 2. Tell us which version.
New Living Translation. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more.
Amen. What version was that? New Living. Yeah? Yes, Kate. Let's have another version. John 15, 1 to 2. Thank you, sir. Which version?
New King James Version.
Yeah, go for it.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit.
Amen. Who's talking there? Jesus. You're happy? You're good at Jesus. So who is the Father of Jesus? God. Thank you. I like the way you are following it. So, who is Jesus in this story? Is what? Is the true what? Vine. True grapevine. Who said grapevine? I like it. It's complete. Is the true grapevine. Yeah? Or in simpler terms, is the stem of this tree. Yeah? And who is the Father in this story? Who is the Father in this story? Sorry? As in, what's his job? Yeah, what? You know, give me that one. This is what you said. Who said gardener? Who said gardener? Yeah, that's a message from your husband. Tell him. That the Father is who? The Father is the gardener. Hallelujah. Who is God? The gardener. Amen. Hallelujah. In this business where Jesus is the vine, the Father is who? The gardener. Hallelujah. You see, we teach spiritual things with physical things so that you can understand. Every spiritual truth, there's something physical that we can use to relate to it. The Father is the gardener. Now, every branch in him. Who is the branch? Who is the branch in this story? Who is the branch? It's a simple question.
Christians are the branches.
Yes! Believers in Christ. Are what? The branches. Can you just read that? Let's just confirm that so you can see that. Verse 5. John 15, 5. Read it. John 15, 5.
Yes, I'm the vine. You are the branches.
You are the branches. Yeah? How does it say it in New King James? John 15, 5.
I am the vine. You are the branches.
You are the branches. Amen? Believers in Christ are what? Are the branches. So this is not talking to unbelievers. This is talking to believers. This is talking to me and you. Amen? Jesus is divine. We are the branches. And who is the gardener? The Father God. Now follow the way it works. Every branch in Jesus. Every believer in Jesus. Yeah? That does not bear fruit. What does the Father do? Amen. Now, it's not something he does like without warning or without time. It has taken time. Yeah? The branch has been there. Yeah? Days have gone. Months have gone. Even years have gone. But it's not bearing any what? So it is useless. Yeah? So the gardener will do what? Because it has received, but it has not produced. You following that? It's being cut off because it's useless. Amen? It's not being cut off because it's imperfect. It's being cut off because it's what? It's useless. Amen? But every branch that produces fruit, what will the Father do? You will have thought the Father will clap. Oh, you're producing fruit. Hallelujah. Of course it will. It will rejoice that you're producing fruit. But it will still what? Still a cutting. It's just that it's not cutting the hole. It's cutting. What is pruning? Please, who does gardening? I know somebody that does gardening. Yes? Who is ready? What mean of pruning? When you finish, you pass it to your back. There's someone else there too.
It forces regeneration.
Yes.
In the plant, so you get rid of sort of older tissue and structure.
You get rid of what?
Like older and dead.
You get rid of. So basically, you take this branch. It's producing fruit, all right, but there are some things in heat that are not okay. Can you believe? A branch is producing fruit, but that still has something in it that is not okay. You called it, what, did you say something dead?
Yeah, it could be sickness or...
It could be whatever. I just want you to get it that this is our Christian life. Yeah? Don't ever deceive yourself. If you are truly working with God, yeah? Though you are producing some fruit, you are doing some good things that makes God happy, there are some other things that are not okay. It applies to all of us. You get it? Yeah? Don't ever deceive yourself. Don't say, I'm blessed. My name is blessed. And I'm a winner. My name is winner. Everything about me is good. No. No, sir. You are producing fruit. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're in church on Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. You pay your tithe. Praise God. You go out and preach. Praise God. You are kind to people at your workplace. Like Pastor Jimmy. I want to believe that she's kind. Praise God. Yeah, you are producing good fruit. Yeah, you are inspiring the youth. You are mentoring the youth. Praise God. But you're not perfect. There are still some things in you that are hindering you from producing more fruit. The reason why the Father prunes is so that you can produce what? More fruit. So what is the Father always looking for in believers? Fruit. Fruit. So the Father prunes. Pruning is a cutting. Is it not cutting? And cutting is what? Painful. Amen. It applies to us all. I tell you, it applies to us all. That's why I learned a long time ago. This is why I pray. I pray regularly like this. Father God, teach me, instruct me, correct me. I know. It's easier to pray God should teach you, but it's more difficult to pray that God should correct you. But you should pray it. Because if you can take, if God can correct you early, it's better than Him correcting you late. Late correction is more painful. You have made a mistake. But early correction saves you from making the mistake. Say, Father God, correct me. Prune me so I can bear more fruit. It's a good prayer. Amen. What is it? A good prayer. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go back to deliverance from evil part 4. Today we are looking at the combat boots. Yeah? The combat boots. So Ephesians 6, a young person. I'm coming to this corner now. Ephesians 6, verse, which verse am I looking for? Somebody help me there. I talk about the shoes. You see it. Ephesians 6. Is it 14 or 15? Check it quickly. Ephesians 6 what? 15. Thank you. Yes, go for it. Ephesians 6, 15. Tell us which version.
New King James.
Yes.
And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with you, will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
So, you shod your feet with what?
Preparation.
The preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, any other version there? Any other version that can we can read as Ephesians 6:15? Let's read it. Any other version?
New Living Translation.
Yeah, go for it.
For the shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any other version? Let's take one more version. Then I would ask a question that will help you locate the message.
I'm not sure about this version. It's MCEV.
Okay, go ahead. Contemporary English version. Go. Okay.
Your desire to tell the good news about peace should be your desire.
Find something that your desire. I like that one. To tell the good news. Continue.
About peace should be like shoes on your feet.
See, it's not bad after all. Pass it to your right. Ephesians 6:15.
This is from
ESV.
And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace.
Put on what? Readiness. So, question I want to ask you now is this. We're looking at these combat boots. Yeah? That, so, in the armor of God, you are trying to overcome the evil one. Amen? And I want you to understand that in your battle against the evil one, it's not just only Satan. Yeah? It's only Satan is measured because he's the prince of darkness or evil. He has a network. And that network includes people. Because when many times when the devil wants to work in your life, he will use what? He will use people. He will use them to annoy you, to provoke you, to tempt you, to seduce you, to distract you. Yeah? Satan has a network. He has demons working for him. He has fallen angels working for him. So really it's a big network. I want you to understand that. It's not just only Satan. In fact, for most of your life, you may not come directly in you may not come directly in contact with Satan himself. Hello? When the Bible says Satan, it includes all those working under his network. Do you get it? So, it may be a messenger of Satan that you will come in contact with, not Satan himself. Because Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at every time. But what he does to compensate that he has a network. I just want you to understand that it's a network. Yeah? So, that's why he can operate everywhere. Yeah? They are evil spirits. Yeah? And it's not only evil spirits. They walk through people. Please understand that. If Satan wants to get you, yeah? He may come directly or he may come through somebody who has accommodated him. And let me also tell you this, that a Christian believer can accommodate Satan. Let me ask you a question. And say, question. What do you need to do if you want to accommodate somebody? You want to accommodate somebody in your house. What do you need to do? To make it easy to just wait. If you want to accommodate somebody, what do you need to do?
Prepare your house.
Prepare your house, yes. Make it clean and empty. Okay, yes. More? More? I like that. What do you need to do to accommodate someone? You want to accommodate someone?
You open the door.
You open what? The door. Open it. Just open it. Yeah? You don't even need to have you don't need to have anybody in mind. Just open the door. Day in and day out. Open what? And you know what you need to do? Yeah, when someone advises you, say, it doesn't matter. Yeah? That's not important. That's how we open the door. We just say, it doesn't matter. That's not really important. Are you with me? You don't really know you're opening the door. But every time you say something is not important, what are you doing? Open the door. I lived in Guildford once. And we were going for a Christmas break to visit one of my relations in a different part of the country. And in those days, we were new in the country. Yeah? So all the time we've lived in that home, the kitchen windows and bedroom windows upstairs were sort of, we never locked them. Yeah? We closed them if it's very cold, but we never actually locked them. So, and we're like, well, they're just windows. We locked the door. So we went for this holiday and we left the windows unlocked. I didn't know when the kitchen might have been slightly open, but unlocked. We were new in the country. Yeah? I think Sean was a baby. So we went for Christmas break. This Christmas break we went for was it 2 or 3 days? So on Christmas Day we were not home. We had locked the door. Yeah? And then we came back. After Christmas Day. We had a nice Christmas break. We had home baked cake. and custard. Anybody like that? And then we got home and we found out that my laptop was gone. Yeah? In fact, actually, the first thing I saw was that the bedroom window was wide open and the wind was blowing in. Yeah? And the house had been bugged. Amen? I want to assure you, I did not invite them. I did not what? I did not. What? Who invited them? They invited themselves. I want you to understand that the way the evil works is that they invite themselves. They don't wait for invitation. Yeah? They wait for open doors. Are you with me? Are you with me? So the reason why we are talking about the armor is to make sure that there are no open doors. I really want to emphasize that point. Everything we are talking about in Ephesians is to make sure that the door is closed. Yeah? And one man of God said, anything left unprotected will ultimately be stolen. So I know that nobody is stealing it now. Please protect it. Hello? Let me talk to young people. If you have something precious, for example, your body, yeah, is precious. Hello? See, the worst thing you can do is not to preach the word of God. You will see today in what we are going to teach you. You're going to do a lot of damage. When you should have preached and taught people, you kept quiet. You said they should know. You have done them damage. It's the word. Faith comes by what? Hearing. When we stop hearing, we stop believing. Give it time. You need time. I know that you believe, yeah? But that thing you believe today, yeah? Stop hearing it preached. Because you are living in the world. And the word is always acting to erode your faith. So if you don't hear it preached, that thing you feel so strongly about now, yeah? After you've interacted with the world and the world has mesmerized your thought process, yeah? 5 years down the line, your conviction will no longer be that deep. 10 years, your conviction about it will be shallow. You just say, you know, it doesn't really matter. Faith comes by hearing. So, one of the worst things we are doing to the generation after us is that we're not teaching them the word. You are leaving it to common sense. And you know that common sense is not, is what? It's not common. Amen. Your body is a precious commodity. Protect it. So that somebody along the line does not come to steal your precious possession. Young people, are you listening to me? Yeah? Say, my body is a precious commodity. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I will not allow Satan to come and steal out of it. It applies to you whether you have male or female. Hallelujah. Anything left unprotected will ultimately be stolen. Hallelujah. We're talking about open doors. Don't open the door, because that's an invitation to the devil. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now go back to Ephesians 6:15. Ask a few questions there. What are the keywords? We're talking about these combat boots. In order to keep your door closed, or to keep the devil far away, or evil far away from your life, you need to put on shoes. These are not normal shoes. These are military shoes. Yeah? First of all, before we go to Ephesians 6:15, what is the importance of shoes in battle? Yeah, in battle, why do you need shoes? Someone who has not spoken today. Imagine that you're a military woman. Because they're military women now. Don't mess with them. Don't ever underestimate a woman. So what a man can do? What? Amen. You're in battle. Military man, military woman. Why do you need boots? Why not just go to battle barefooted? Yes. Someone who has not spoken today. Or a young person. I can take a young person who has spoken.
Because it protects your feet.
Yes, but what type of protection does it give you? Why can't I just go with my, you know, my bare foot to battle?
Because it's not as durable.
Okay, yes. So we're developing it. You are in the right path. Yes.
in battle, if you need to run or you need to commute yourself around places, it wouldn't be efficient barefoot.
Yes. I mean, like, why don't we, when I was in second school, I had this in the wood, like to play football barefooted on the field. What are the dangers of that? Someone is playing football, because if the football boots slowed him down. So we just play barefoot. What are the risks?
Playing barefoot leaves you vulnerable to injury.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, Ma? Why do you need boots or shoes in battle?
Because, like, if you're running, you need stability.
You need what?
Stability.
Ah! Anymore? You're in the jungle. Why do you need boots? come on, adult. Anybody? Let me come to this corner. You're in the jungle. The Amazon jungle. Why do you need to put on boots?
Save myself from a snake bite.
Save yourself from a bite. I don't like that. More? Anyone? Anybody? Okay, let me leave it there. What about stepping on thorns? Yeah? Isn't it? Or what else can you step on? Mud. Navigating mud. What else? Snake bite? What else? Glass. Broken glass. Yeah? Or even an abandoned weapon. A sharp weapon that was on the floor. Yeah? Even if you're as big as Goliath, if you step on a sharp weapon, you are weakened. All the energy is in the body, but you can't move. Sorry? Yeah. If the problem is that it doesn't matter how fortified you are in every other part of your body, if your feet are hurt, you are immobile. Yeah? So the enemy can just throw around. I'm poking the nose. Because you're immobile now, what can you do? You know, before you reach out, it's gone. Have you ever watched a documentary of monkeys fighting with what? Was it a lion or lion cubs? Or no. What was the animal? I've forgotten. Because monkeys are agile. So these monkeys, I mean, like, well, find a documentary like that. It's fun. They will reach out, they walk together and pull the from the back. They pull the hair of this lion cub, yeah? Before it could go, they already go. Amen. It doesn't matter if the young lion was stronger, yeah? If it's not that agile, yeah? And just imagine that such a cub has hurt their feet as they play this. Amen. Let's read Ephesians 6:15 again. Or maybe not read it. Look at your own version. I want us to pick out the key words in these shoes. I'm looking at the shoes, the boots. What are the key words in the message? So, in order to keep the devil away, I'm looking at protection for my feet. Yeah? What are the key words there? Just tell me one key word you find. Ephesians 6:15, the first part. What are the key words? Yes, one word. Only one word. Prepare. Yes, I take it. Prepare. Peace. Good news. Yes, more. You see, Evie. Okay.
Gospel.
Very important. That one. Gospel or good news. Yes, more. Desire. There was one in your version that I wanted to mention.
Readiness.
I'm talking about your boots now. In order to have solid boots, yeah? For your resisting the devil. You see, most of the warfare you have with the devil is to resist. Amen? You can't destroy the devil, unfortunately. Amen? He has a license to be here until the end when, you know, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. Okay, from bottomless pit first to lake of fire. You can't destroy him. Amen? Say, I can't destroy the devil. That's in the Bible. You can't even send the devil to hell. It's not scriptural. If you do something that's not scriptural, you're wasting your time. Amen? But what can you do? You can resist the devil. It's in the Bible. James 4:7 tells us, submit yourself to God. What? Resist the devil. Then what will happen? When he flees from you, where is he going to? He's going to look for an open door. And that's not all. That's not all. Let me tell you, that's not all. Even in telling that they will flee from you, he's telling you that he can come back another day. You get me? He will go for a while. Yeah? Then he will try again. And every time he's trying, he's looking for an open door. But I want you to understand that the open door could be as little as a tiny hole. I told about the ants coming to my house through a tiny unseen hole, making life difficult for me. But the hole is so tiny, I can't even say it. But to stop those ants, I needed to plug that hole. Are you with me? So, readiness, preparedness, desire. So I want to pick you three words that define your spiritual boots. Yeah? That ensure that you can keep moving with stability and not hurt your feet. Because if you hurt your feet spiritually, yeah, you are grounded. Do you get it? It doesn't matter what other weapon you have. Yeah? You are what? Grounded. I don't want to be grounded. You need three things. You need readiness. Actually, you need two things. Because readiness is the same as preparedness. And you need the gospel. What do I need for my boots? Readiness and what? And the gospel. What is the gospel? Somebody help me. What's the gospel? Matthew, before you, let me go. Let me help. Okay, let me take it. Then I will define. By the way, the answer is in the Bible readings we've read today. Well, let's try. Better to play safe, yeah? Open your Bible to Matthew 28. I want to show you the gospel. What is the gospel? Yes, let's go this way. You've been quiet. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. When you're ready, it's waiting for you. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Tell us which version. Okay, listen to the gospel. I define it for you.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen.
Amen. So, from Matthew 28, 18 to 20, what is the gospel? Just look at those verses and try to define it only from those verses. What is gospel? Jesus is telling us, yeah, the gospel. What is the gospel there? You what? You make disciples of all nations. How do you do that? Verse 20. No. Yeah. You what? What do you teach them? Hello. I hope you're paying attention. The gospel, yeah, is to make disciples, teaching them to what? Follow the words of Jesus. And that's where we are failing in the church. Imagine, I heard something on radio, was like, this is evil. Someone said, like, you know, thank God for eternal security. Now, because I'm eternally secure, because my friend was eternally secure, they could lose their faith and not be bothered. You hear that? You know, funny, this Christian radio I heard is. Yeah? The wonder of eternal security is that you can lose your faith and not be what? Bothered. That's its truth. Upside down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the real truth. That is a lie. Let me tell you the real truth. The real truth is that if you want to be eternally secure, don't lose your faith. Hallelujah. Stay what? In faith. Faith is a living thing. Hallelujah. Faith is what? A living thing. You can't say, I believed in Jesus, so I'm going to heaven. No. You can say, I believe. Believe is present continuous. If you stop believing in Jesus, you are lost. Are you with me? Hallelujah. The gospel is to make disciples and teach them everything Jesus has commanded. Hallelujah. The gospel is not just to say, okay, please come to church. We have an anniversary next week. Don't worry, there will be food and drink plenty, plenty. That's not the gospel. Hallelujah. The gospel is not to say, okay, you know what? If you can just repeat after me. You know, I believe in Jesus and Jesus be my Lord and Savior. And so that's not the gospel. The gospel, yeah, is to make disciples of all nations, teaching them, yeah, everything Jesus has commanded. I'm trying to define for you your boots. It's the readiness to proclaim the gospel. What's your boots? The readiness to what? To proclaim the gospel. And I want to tell you that that doesn't just apply outside church. It applies everywhere. Open your Bible to. Time is going, so let me do some considered teaching for 5 minutes or so, and then begin to round up. 2 Timothy, we read it, 1 to 5. Now, listen, in 1 to 5, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, teaches you your military boots. This is your boots. Your armor against Satan. Yeah, as far as your feet is concerned. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. Let's have it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to 5. Who is ready? Two versions.
This is New King James.
Yes, go for it.
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word.
Preach the word! Yeah. Preach what?
The word.
That's it. That's what we're talking about. Preach the word. The gospel is the word. Hello, Sister Toy. What's the gospel? What is the good news? The word. The word is the good news. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh. John 1:12. And we beheld his glory. That's good news. Hallelujah. The word of God given to us is good news. It's what changes lives. It was saves souls. It was sets people free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the word. So he says to you, preach the word. You can preach the word to unbelievers. You can also preach it to believers. When you preach the word to unbelievers, you will make converts. Amen. When you preach the word to believers, what do you make? Disciples. Are you following me? Yeah. You preach the word to an unbeliever, they come to Jesus. That is good. It's good. But that's not the end of the gospel. It was the beginning of the gospel. Hallelujah. Now they need to grow and become more and more like Jesus. Bear fruit and reproduce in others. Hallelujah. Making disciples is what? Preach. So you know that, for example, you can preach the word in your school. Now you don't have to preach it from the front like Pastor Ben, yeah. You don't have to. I did it in university. I went to the front of the lecture theater, and I have a loud voice, and I preached. You can do that, but that's not the only way. Amen. It can just be when you are in the cafe with your friend, and they are chatting with you about something. Then you tell them what the Bible said, what you believe. You are preaching what? The word. And that's a protection for your faith. Hallelujah. What did Jesus do when Satan came to tempt him? What did he do? He preached the word to Satan. You know, he said, it is. Like, what, I imagine what you say, hear me, Satan, hear loud and clear. It is what? And what did the devil do after he did that? The devil left him. Hallelujah. Please continue reading.
Be ready in season and out of season.
In season, season means when it's comfy. Out of season is that when it's not comfy. But in your case, be what? Ready. Be ready. Don't say, okay, today I'm feeling a bit under the weather. No. If God needs you at that moment, don't worry. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be ready. Please turn to your neighbor, smile and say, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be ready. When you are ready, the Holy Spirit can use you. Hallelujah. You don't need to preach a long sermon. You just need to chip in one or two or three things. Then leave it for the Holy Spirit to complete. Continue.
Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching.
You see, and you know, my wife can bear witness of this. I always say to you, I said, James 4:17 says, he that knows to do good and does not do it, to him is what? If you see something is going wrong and you keep quiet, you are sinning. Now, I know it's not in every situation you can go and raise your voice. Are you with me? I cannot go to parliament now and start fighting them. But some people are called to do that. Amen? Some people are graced to do that. But in your own domain, in your own sphere of influence, you can't keep quiet. You can't play the ostrich. If you're doing that, you don't have any cover for your feet. Hallelujah. You have to preach the word. Hallelujah. If somebody is off track, don't keep quiet. That's not love. That's not what? It's love. That's not love. If I truly love you, and you are drifting to a path of destruction, I will pull you back. And the only way I'm going to do that is to give you the word of God. Preach the word. Please turn to your neighbor, smile, and say, preach the word. I hope it's making more sense to you now. It's preach the word. You can preach, you don't have to go on the street to preach the word. You preach the word everywhere people are, as it applies to them. The word always applies to everyone. In every situation. Hallelujah. Preach it. How do you preach the word? Read that last line you read.
Convince, rebuke, exhort.
Convince. Mm-hmm.
Rebuke.
Exhort.
With all long suffering and teaching.
With all long suffering and teaching. You with me? That, yes, that's preaching. Hallelujah. You know, for example, you know, as I say to my son, when you're in your school, you are the one, I can come and preach the word in your school, son. Hello? Why? I'm not there. You are the one that is there. God is depending on you. Hallelujah? You're not going to bang people on their head. When decision arises, you say what you believe and you say it with conviction. That's the way you're going to save any soul. If you keep quiet, they will preach to you. Now, they won't tell you they are preaching. They will just be telling you what they believe. And faith comes by what? You are keeping quiet. They're telling you what they believe. Over time, you give it time. Maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You will start believing what they believe. Or you may not believe it, but you will lose conviction in what you believe. Because you did not preach it. Hallelujah. Say with me, say, I refuse to play the ostrich. We are going to round up now. Let me teach you something. God is so wise. You know the way God made different animals. He made animals to reflect all different behaviors and attitudes you can find in life. Every animal is a reflection of a particular type of behavior. The donkey reflects a behavior. The goat reflects a behavior. The sheep reflects what? A behavior. The ostrich. Every animal is reflecting something. The serpent, the snake. Everyone, so it's like God designed them to show you different behaviors. So you have a metaphor. Yeah? The ostrich, what does it do? He refused to preach the word. You know what he did? Yeah? God designed the ostrich to be so majestic. Have you ever gone to a zoo or park? My wife took me to a park one of the days. This ostrich was so big. I was in my car. I checked that my window was well closed. Amen. It's so big. Yeah, it's designed to preach the word. God has given it relevance and prominence. Hello? That bigness is relevance or what? Prominence. Influence. There are people around your life that you can influence. You keep quiet. Are you with me? You can't. So, what did the ostrich do? The ostrich preferred to bury his head in where? In the sand. Rather than preach the word. So, the ostrich influenced nobody. Hallelujah. It was just big for nothing. Are you with me? Now, continue, finish that verse and we'll finish there. Continue reading.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound.
The reason why you have to preach the word is that we are living in dangerous times where anything goes. So really, if you didn't preach, it's coming back at you. Is that thing you kept quiet about, yeah? It's coming back to oppress you. It will show up in your life one way or the other because you kept quiet. Earlier, if you want to keep it far away from you, be preaching about it. Be speaking about it. Don't keep quiet. If you have a conviction, say it. Preach it. Yeah? It's protecting you. If you don't, the reverse of that belief system will come back at you. It will gain force. Hallelujah. Because you accommodated it. Like, for example, in this country now, you know, many years the church started keeping quiet. They stopped preaching the word. Yeah? All the biblical truths, they stop. Yeah? In the name of liberalism or political correctness. The devil never stops. When the devil takes a small ground in your life, he's always looking to increase it. And he will if you stop, if you don't preach and teach the word. People will challenge and say, "What? Why are you saying this?" That's the word. That's what I subscribe to. That's my belief system. Hallelujah. It's your protection. Because if you don't, the opposite belief system will come and oppress you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Yeah. You know, like now we're here for church. But you know that there are people that we could gather here in the evening, one of the Sunday evenings, for a spiritualist spirit meeting. It's the same people that say they don't believe in God, but they are going. I mean, the other day when I came to clear one of the rooms, I saw a coffin there. Yeah? Are you with me? Like, the opposite force does not, if you give it a chance, it will gain ground. It never stops. Never. The devil will never stop. Never, ever. Any open door, you penetrate. But when you preach the word, when you teach the word, you are keeping the doors closed. You are saying, no room. No room here. And because of that, you will save people. Faith comes by what? There's some mistakes that people will not make if you taught them well, but you kept quiet. Even see me now, I'm a pastor here. I'm responsible for every soul here before God. If I don't teach you, yeah, somebody else will teach you rubbish. Yeah? And because of that, you will make some mistakes because I did not teach you with conviction. I can never depend on common sense. I don't care about common sense. If common sense was common, the world should be perfect. I only care about what? And I will teach it. My aim is to convince. My aim is to exhort. My aim is to rebuke and correct until you are established in sound doctrine. Because then you are protected from the evil one. It becomes more difficult for Satan to deceive you. Please finish it. Finish it and let's finish there.
But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables.
Yeah, let me just explain that. If you don't want to believe the word of God, you can find someone that will teach you any other thing you want to believe. If you don't like what the Bible is telling you, yeah? So there's a preacher somewhere, and it's just someone that will tell you that one is okay. Yeah? If your ear is itching, like, I don't like, you know. You can find the preacher tell you that, it doesn't matter anything you do, you're okay. You will have deceived yourself and they will have deceived you. I don't want to deceive myself. Amen? Say with me, say, I don't want to deceive myself. and I don't want to deceive others. Amen. Do you want to deceive yourself? No. Finish it.
But you will be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
How do you do the work of an evangelist?
Preaching.
Preach the word. Amen. Let's rise up. I hope that blessed you. I hope that, you know, gave you, you know, renewed confidence to be bold about the word. That is the gospel. There is no better gospel than the word. It's the word that saves you. It's the word that heals you. It's the word that changes you, transforms you. The greatest need you have in your life is not even healing. The greatest need you have in your life is to be transformed, to be a disciple. The primary calling is to go and make what? Disciples. If you were healed, yeah, and if you had all the money in the world, but you don't become a true disciple of Jesus, you were a waste. The Father is not impressed because he's looking for what? Fruit. More fruit. See, when you're a disciple, the Father can depend on you to help other lives. What's our goal overall? We want people to have a relationship with God. A vital relationship that results in godliness on all levels. The kingdom moving forward. Yeah? Lives being changed for the better. The works of Satan being destroyed. Yeah? And light overcoming darkness. That's what we're doing. That's our business. That's my business, your business. So pray to God and say, Lord, I rededicate myself to preaching the word. You know, it's not just the pastor. That little word of God that you know, yeah? When the situation arises that you need to say it, say it. Don't keep quiet. Say it. Say, look, this is what the Bible said. Yeah? Yeah, you can't do that because you'll be, I say you don't want to follow God anymore. This is what the Bible said. You are preaching the word. When you meet an unbeliever, you can tell them, I believe in Jesus. He said, why? You tell them why you believe in Jesus. And tell them that tell them that your belief in Jesus has changed your life for the better. I don't desire any other life because this is the best life I can have. And my best life is not the life of big money. Please don't misunderstand me. It's a life of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Every other thing will be added to me. Yeah? Well, firstly, how can I trade off righteousness for unrighteousness? How can I trade off light for darkness? So I will preach it without apology, without shame. You know why? It's the word of truth. It's the word of God. So rededicate yourself and say, Lord, help me to do the work of an evangelist. What is the work? It's very simple. It's not going on the streets. It's anywhere I find myself, at home, at school, at work, in the extended family, among my old friends or my new friends, in church, in the community, anywhere, I will preach the word. When I find myself among young people, whether they're my own children or other people, I will mentor them. You see, if you are not mentoring the young people in your life, you are not preaching the word. You are playing the ostrich. And you are opening the door for Satan. So, anywhere I meet people, my goal is to preach, teach, disciple, mentor. That way, we are keeping Satan far away from dominating us. And Father, Lord, thank you because we enter the victory as we obey your word. We see more victory over evil. The evil that reigns in our day, in our generation. By preaching and teaching and mentoring and discipling and not being shy about it. We overcome that evil. We may not overcome all of it, but in our own domain, we will keep evil far away. In Jesus' name. Amen.